Good morning. I'm Matt Schaefer. Welcome back to the Boston Sunday Review. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Catherine Hall Page, mystery writer, Agatha Award-winning novelist, and the author of a new book entitled The Body in the Sleigh. It is the 18th Faith Fairchild book. And when and why did you turn to mystery writing?
I turned to mystery writing because I was given something that few people get, and that is a gift of time. A year when I wasn't working, or I was older, I wasn't in school, my husband took a sabbatical. We were living in France. I had a two-year-old. The French have fantastic daycare. He was in this lovely little, they call them creche, a little creche in the morning, and I had always wanted to write a novel. That had just been percolating in my head. And as I began thinking about this sabbatical, I thought, you know, this would be the time when I might be able to get this book written. And it seemed that taking the form of a mystery, because I started with the character, and I began to think, okay, what could happen to this woman, and what could she be involved with? I made her a caterer. We haven't talked about the food, and we both love food. So she became fleshed out, and then I began thinking, okay. In fact, I was outside, and it was the Lexington Library. I was outside the Lexington Library in the fall, looking up at Belfry Hill that overlooks the Lexington Common, and there's the old belfry there. The leaves were off the trees. It was late in the afternoon. It was silhouetted dramatically against the gray sky. And I thought, okay, what if my character found a body in that belfry? And that is honestly how it started.
Did faith spring into your mind fully formed?
Almost. Actually, almost. Yeah, like, Hera from the head of Zeus. Pretty much. I wanted her to have an outsider perspective, wanted to make her a New Yorker. I'm a Jersey girl, proud of it. I don't pump gas. And I thought, okay, but we lived close enough to New York so that I felt that I had one foot there in Manhattan. And she just took shape.
A former New York caterer turned Boston suburbanite.
Yep.
What kind of woman is she, and how did she get into the sleuthing biz?
Well, in the first books especially, she really chafes at her New England existence, and she's kind of whiny and a little bit spoiled in terms of she can't get a good haircut. She's at that particular time when I was writing, there wasn't a Barney's up here or a Bloomingdale's or anything. She missed all her old haunts, Balducci's, which sadly is closed now, this wonderful food emporium in New York. And So there's that tension. New England boiled dinners are an anathema. She's in a small town. She's not in Manhattan. But then, marriage and children and life mellows her, and she meets people. And so, as the books go along, she's really changed enormously. However, she still needs to go home regularly.
Why did you make her a caterer?
I made her a caterer because I like to read mysteries that had food in them. And I set out, I thought, all right, it's a mystery. What are the kinds of mysteries I like to read? So I always loved reading, about Nero Wolfe for the Rex Stout mysteries. Dorothy Sayers, those Peter Wimsey's, they had tons of food in them. And just, Who's Killing the Great Chefs of Europe? Virginia Rich, lots of those. I just thought, all right, a caterer. And then I thought, well, that would give her an opportunity to for other plots. This could be, even though I didn't think I was writing a series consciously with the first book, I think it must have been in the back of my mind, because that's the other reason I made her a minister's wife.
Which was my next question.
Yeah.
Why that?
Yeah, because if, having an amateur sleuth, she's got to have a reason to go around knocking on people's doors or going into their homes asking questions. And also, you tend to know through a congregation what's going on in a town and what's going on. Unfortunately, she can't get her husband because he is a very good man of the cloth, and he won't tell her any of the secrets of well, not the confessional exactly, but the equivalent, whatever the Protestant equivalent is.
What's the challenge in writing for series regulars versus faith newcomers?
Well, the series regulars, I'm writing pretty much a book a year, and that's a huge challenge because I also have some other writing projects. But my series regulars, whom I adore, and thank you very much, my whole backlist is in print, you know, they really want these books. I get letters all the time saying, can't you write faster? And I wish I could. But the challenge is that anybody has to be able to come. Every book is a standalone book. And I have to bring a new reader up to speed without making it boring for the old reader. I have to give something about Faith's background, who she is, you know, what's been going on, without turning off those series regulars. So it really is a challenge.
This is your 18th Faith book.
Oof, yes.
When you turned on the computer to begin, were all these characters waiting in the wings?
This book was interesting because it came out of a short story that I wrote a number of years ago called The Two Marys. And that was for an anthology called Mistletoe and Mayhem. And as I was writing this short story, I became really involved with the characters of Mary Bethany and then this character, Miriam, who I don't think it's a spoiler, but who turns out to be the birth mother of this baby Christopher, a young college student who has also had a very difficult life, as has Mary. And I said to my agent, I really wish I could have written this as a full-length novel. And she said, well, maybe someday you can. Why not? And those characters stayed in my head. And I wanted to write more about their lives. Part of the book involve flashbacks to both of their childhoods. And it's dangerous for a writer to be so fond of a book or any kind of writing project. And this is now the book that I feel the most attached to.
And because of Mistletoe and Mayhem, hence the Christmas theme?
Yeah. So that's where the Christmas part came. But I had always wanted to write a Christmas book. I'd never set a book at Christmas time.
You have set other books on this and other islands.
Yep.
Does island isolation lend itself to suspense?
Yes, absolutely. And nobody showed that better than Agatha Christie, and then there were none. There's the notion of people in that enclosed island, particularly if it's an island you can only get to by boat. Yes.
You and your family summer.
Yes.
On a main island.
Yes, we do.
How similar to this island?
Very similar. I have actually been on that island for part or all of 51 summers as of last summer. And I think it's just, I've been very much aware in my adult life of the difference between people from away who live there year-round, people who were born there. You know, there are enormous numbers of groups. There are a lot of tensions on the island, but also it's a community that is like none other I know in terms of cohesiveness in times of trouble. And that, I think, is conveyed in this book.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now we've gone through 18 books.
Yes.
When you look back, how difficult to write the first and how tough to get it published?
I was very lucky because I was very naive. I wrote that first book while we were away, and I saw in a publication, it was actually a publication of the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, that an agent was looking for manuscripts. And so I just sent her a query letter, and she said, send it to me. She loved it. And it sold right away. Now, you know, the odds of that are pretty slim.
From the get-go, you were a success.
I was, again, very fortunate because that first book, The Body in the Belfry, won an Agatha, which created an audience and a readership, and it was just a ripple effect.
And what is an Agatha for listeners who might not know?
An Agatha is a mystery award that's given by a mystery convention, a wonderful mystery convention that meets every year in the D.C. area. They can go to their website, malicedomestic.org, and this is an award for a traditional mystery.
In fact, you are the first person to win all three Agatha Awards: Best First Novel, Best Novel, and Best Short Story.
Yeah, it's been an amazing ride.
Is it any less difficult when you turn on the computer and begin a new one?
You know this. It's always hard. It's very hard to write a book. People come up to me and say, well, if I only had a little more time, I would write a book. And I think that's wonderful. I think everybody does have a book or two or more in them. But I write every day. You know, it's difficult. And you run into times when you just... You don't despair exactly, but there's that feeling of, okay, you know, am I going to be able to do this again?
The trademark recipes at the end, and you're stepping from behind the keyboard to directly address readers with an author's note.
Yes. The recipes are at the end because a lot of people are not at all interested in the food or the recipes. And I also felt very strongly that I didn't want them to interrupt the narrative. I didn't start putting the recipes in until it was the fourth book, because I didn't like the kinds of books that were beginning to be popular at that time where, Faith would stumble across a badly bludgeoned body and then there'd be a brownie recipe. So they're at the end. They're easy recipes. They don't have exotic or expensive materials. But the author's note does let me address, as Catherine Hall Page, the reader, and this one is really a kind of an ode to libraries and librarians.
Yes. Why? Why the librarian dedication?
The librarian dedication, and I very coyly say, is long overdue because throughout my life, libraries and librarians have played an enormous role. And I named some specific as I was growing up and in college and thereafter. And I have such an enormous respect and love of librarians as really, I describe them in that author's note, as a feisty bunch out there on the barricades protecting our civil liberties. I mean, you probably recall what was going on during the Patriot Act and what the librarians known as the Connecticut Four, who refused to turn over patrons' records to Ashcroft about what the patrons were taking out, unbanning books. And then, particularly in these times, the libraries and library usage is up. Nice little factoid is there are more public libraries in the United States than McDonald's, and 68% of Americans have library cards. But people are turning to libraries now more than ever for things like job hunting seminars, resume writing things, computer literacy. Our libraries are just, the bulwark of our civilization.
Important for a Christmas book to have the kind of ending that it did?
I think so. I wrote one ending and then I changed it. I can't really tell what the change was. I wrote a very kind of Hallmark card ending and then I thought, nah, that's really not what would have happened. And I changed the ending to what I think is in many ways more moving but and certainly more realistic. But I get choked up at the ending. I don't know.
Are you already on 19?
Yes. I'm pretty much always writing a book, which is a great thing. I have had two careers that I have loved, you know, all the teaching and all of that. And then this is just a...
Can you tell us where the body's located in book 19?
It is in the gazebo, the body in the gazebo. And it's going back to something that occurred during the summer of 1929, which is a very interesting time to look back to considering where we are now. And some of it takes place on Martha's Vineyard. It's an old crime, and of course Faith has the challenge of having to figure it out. I also have finally a cookbook coming out next fall. Have Faith in Your Kitchen is coming out next fall.
The Body in the Sleigh by Catherine Hall Page is published by William Morrow. Visit catherine-hall-page.org.
Please, I love to hear from people.
And it's fantastic to see you. Congratulations on the book and happy holidays.
Oh, same to you, Matt. Wonderful to see you.
And you are tuned to the Boston Sunday Review.